Josh, you're a reasonably skilled journalist.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And, you know, let's be honest, radio journalism is pretty limited in Australia, at least where job security and money are concerned.
Yep.
Would you ever go overseas to be a journalist?
I'm thinking about it.
What's stopping you?
Hi, I'm Josh Nicholas.
I'm Ellen Leibeder.
We've been investigating Australia's emerging knowledge economy. If you've listened to our previous segments, you would know that the great thing about tech startups is that it can be based anywhere in the world.
Certainly, there's been a big discussion many times about moving to the States, San Jose, Cupertino, those sort of areas, specifically because the labour costs are dramatically reduced.
It's also the bad thing about tech startups. They can be based anywhere in the world, which, if you're looking for a tree change, is great for you as an individual. But as a nation, if all our best and brightest are going overseas, well,
all we'll be left with is a bunch of dumb kangaroos.
But to understand the point, we need to cast our minds back to the days of the primary school classroom. Now, Josh, while you were busy doing silly drawings,
they're amazing.
Kids across the world were learning practical things, like a new language. I'm not talking about French or Japanese or Mandarin, I'm talking about code.
Just about every major company, every CEO out there will tell you that coding is like this magic language. And moving forward, if we're going to be relevant as a country and have a modern education system, this has to be a part of it, or we will slip behind.
This is Kate Taglin. She's part of a program called Code Club in Australia. Basically, Code Club comes to a school and teaches 9 to 7-year-olds how to code.
Australia's been a bit slow on the uptake of this one. Take, for example, England. That's where Code Club comes from. England embraced it and now have coding as part of the curriculum in primary and high school.
And people in Australia are finally starting to take notice.
The imperative for introducing these foundational skills into the primary and pre-primary curricula should be unassailable. As it stands in Australia, the gap between the digital literacy of our young people and that of our competitor nations is increasing.
That's Catherine Livingston, President of the Business Council of Australia, addressing the National Press Club earlier this year. So you see why making coding attractive is kind of important.
Now, Ellen, what did you want to be when you were a kid?
A marine biologist. I think it's because I spent so much time in the water as a kid.
Well, all that kids do nowadays is go on Facebook.
You sound really old when you say
that. Yeah, I know. Kids nowadays.
Kids these days.
You wrote that? Well, all kids nowadays do is go on Facebook. So it makes sense that they want to work at Facebook. This is Aaron Birkby, a serial entrepreneur on the Gold Coast.
So there was a parent recently mentioned this comment to me that they were talking to their kid about, do you want to get into software development, blah, 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 and had no interest, and the conversation went on. But eventually this parent said to their kid, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to work at Facebook and make Facebook, because there's just a disconnect between what they perceive as software and, you know, a real life product. You know, starting kids on technology early. I think those school programs like Coder Dojo and Junior Engineers and a few others that are popping up, I think they're great.
And we all know that kids pick up languages better when they're younger. So it makes sense that they should learn to code when they're in diapers. Kate Taglin again.
When you can command technology to do what you want it to do, we have this phrase that we use, we borrow it from Rushkoff, but program or be programmed. In the digital age, if an individual cannot command technology to do what it will do, then you're simply just a user of technology.
Wow. So if I learn how to code, I'm the master of technology. I can command it to do anything that I want.
Well, you know, it takes a few years to get to that stage.
Anything that I want.
Anyway, this is a new idea. But for the current coders, how did they learn to code?
My name is George Hadjivasilis, and I am the managing director of the Pixel Lab.
You just did that so we didn't have to say his last name.
Yeah, but George is actually a really cool guy. He was one of the first people to use responsive design.
That's where a website can fit to any device, right?
Exactly. So a website that you see on your laptop also fits on your phone, your tablet, and your TV. George designed one of the first models of that for Gloria Jeans.
I wrote or made a responsive website and wrote a responsive framework for Glory Jeans, they're still using that today, that same code.
And that takes some skills. A lot of programmers learnt the art of code on the computer, but George actually learnt it by writing it down.
I learned to code a long time ago when the web wasn't as complex. I had a good friend who was a very good programmer and still is, and he sort of sat down with me over a number of days. We did this like crash course lesson in HTML so that I could pass a job interview. Needless to say, I did. So I guess what he taught me was how to code by hand, which is different in our industry because there's a lot of tools that you can use to help you learn to code, a lot of prompts that you can use.
And that's where the knowledge part of the knowledge economy comes in. See, George uses his coding skills to design websites and phone apps and even apps for the Apple Watch. His intimate knowledge of how code works means that George has been able to adapt code to suit new technologies.
Which is actually pretty cool when you think about it. You get to create something new out of nothing. And that's what coding is like. Aaron Berkby says that people often undervalue how creative coding is.
I mean, the appeal for me, I remember that the first time I understood the concept of developing software, I was a kid. My parents bought me a Commodore 64 and someone mentioned that you could create games, and it was just such a foreign concept. And I taught myself to code because of that. And what I love about it is that ability to make something out of nothing from anywhere. Like, armed with a laptop, you can sit anywhere in the world and make something. Yeah. And I think that creative aspect is something that's not sold enough.
If you learn how to code and you learn how to do it well, there will be jobs coming out of the woodwork, left, right and centre. Belbeth Cooper again.
From a lot of the people that we've talked to who are further along in their businesses than us, hiring is probably the top thing that comes up in conversations about what they're having trouble with. It's a really common refrain among other startup founders is that they just can't find the talent that they need, which is really frustrating.
Josh, at the start of this episode, I asked, what's stopping you from going overseas? What's your answer?
Nothing. Once I finish my degree, I'm out.
Well, it's the same for these guys. If the opportunities in Australia are limited, why would you stay?
And that's the very worry that many entrepreneurs have. They're scared about growing their businesses. When they get to the point where they need more people, will they be in Australia?
We've looked at how we can help get people into coding. The next challenge is how to get them to keep coding in Australia. Later in the series, we'll look at how we can encourage an entrepreneurial culture in Australia. That's all for now. I'm Melanie Beter.
And I'm Josh Nicholas. Thanks for your company.